In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And this episode, I want to let you know, first of all, we're getting inching even closer. Actually, I think this will be coming out. This will be coming out on our 3-year anniversary.
Like I believe, the first episode that aired?
I think so. Didn't the first one air on like the 21st of February? Didn't it? I don't remember for sure.
Yeah, now I got to take a quick look. I've got my files over here. I'll take a quick look. I can find them real quick while you're...
I know it was around that time frame. So yeah, this is kind of our, this is literally 3 years worth of us doing this.
Holy smokes.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is. I still am having such a, you're right. It is.
So this
you're
will be,
absolutely
this will be...
right. It's yes. Wow. It's February 21st, 2019 was the first episode we did.
So this will be coming out on our 3-year anniversary. Doing episodes. I didn't get you a present, Mike. I'm sorry.
it's okay. I didn't get you one either.
Nor did I get you. You didn't give me a present?
Oh, now you're offended.
Yes, I am. I deserve presents. I had cake yesterday, so I guess that helps.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I had what Walmart tries to say is a tiramisu style cake, which basically means the icing has a little bit of a coffee flavor to it, and the rest of it is just normal cake. But hey, it was a decent sized square of cake, maybe about 4-inch square of cake.
Okay.
And it was only like $3. So I really wasn't arguing too much as I was shoveling the damn thing in my mouth. So interestingly, I wasn't too far away from you.
Oh, really?
I was at a friendly neighborhood Walmart right nearby you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. It was about 5 or 6 o'clock at night, around in that time frame. Uh-huh. There were at one point while we were sitting there eating, there was fire trucks going by. That gives you a time frame if you can remember that time frame. But anyway, I digress from my point here. Yes, we're at 3 years here, and I was it's an amazing thing to think about. I posted last week on our Facebook page. I posted the picture of the table all set up. Funny though, a couple of days after that, on my Facebook feed, I got a video, on my memories section, I got a video, which was one of the first videos that I had filmed of you and me talking and showing the table and kind of a promotional video.
Oh man.
And it was some fun nostalgia, but also made me very sad because I'm watching this video and I look at myself and I think to myself, that guy's got a great beard. His beard game is solid. So beautiful and luxurious and so not white.
Oh, and, man.
And I'm just like, in 3 years, it turned that white? Dear God, because that's part of the reason, other than the job search situation and the mask protocol still, the fact that it's really, really uncomfortable to wear a mask with a full beard. It really is. It's awful. I other than, those are my kind of main reasons I've kept myself, at least mostly shaven. But the other reason is I did try recently growing it back out again, because the job I am in will let me have a beard, but the jobs I might want to get into frown on it a little more. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you.
I tried growing it out again, and there is so much white in it now. That as my wife who my wife is only a year younger, but most people when commenting on it will comment that she looks to be 5 to 7 years, sometimes even 10 years younger than what she is, because she's been very lucky to have still an extremely youthful face, really great skin, no real wrinkles or anything anywhere. I mean, literally, I know it's been. You saw her not too long ago when we stopped by your house, but that was only for a short period of time. But even then, she doesn't look much different, does she? From like, 8 years ago when we were hanging out, 9 years ago, whenever, when we were hanging out watching the bands all the time.
No, not particularly. No.
No, she doesn't look like she's aged at all, which
no,
both frustrates the crap out of me because, like, I keep getting older and she never looks any older. But then it's also really awesome for me because she never looks any older. It's freaking amazing. She's still amazing looking. So it's like I get to be the lucky one and I kind of feel bad for her because, like, she's got to deal with the old man. And there's been the moments in, like, public settings and whatnot back when I did have the beard and it was starting to go white that people would be like, eyeball me like, oh, you got a younger lady there. All right, good job. It's like, no, not really. I mean, yeah, she's a year younger, but not really. But, like, still good job. Yeah. So that's part of the biggest reason I haven't felt like really growing it back, because it's just there's so much white in it now. And, like, now I just have kind of the little goatee Van Dyke setup going on, and there's a little bit of white in one corner of it, but that's it. But when the beard comes in, like, most of the right side is completely white now. And it's like, I, without the beard, I look my age. With the beard, I look like I'm 50. And it's like, nah, I can't. We got to stay. In fact, I'm not brave enough to do it yet, but I've thought about shaving all the facial hair off and sending a picture out to a few people, see how young I look with no facial hair. I seriously think if I was to do the no facial hair, I might even put myself back somewhere in the 30s.
You know how I know you're old?
Yeah.
You talk about how young you look when you shave.
Yeah, I know. That's
that is a telltale sign. Like, it's a telltale sign of anyone who's actually getting, like they talk about how old they are. I know people that are younger that talk about how they feel old, like 23, and they're talking about how their back hurts or whatever. And I'm like, that's one thing. I can give you that. But come on, like, there's so much more to deal with later. However, when you start talking, like, as a dude, when you start talking about how young you look when you shave, that's when you've officially started to get real old.
That's when you're old.
And that's that's a stepping stone. That's almost midlife crisis old.
Almost, yes. Almost. I was recently educated, though. I was recently scolded on midlife crisis stuff and kind of given a warning about midlife crisis stuff.
Oh, were you?
Conversation that won't happen here on the podcast, but per our previous conversation before the podcast, let a little mystery be in there. I was told that in my search, I better not be searching for midlife crisis stuff, if you get what I'm saying. And I was like, okay, I get you, boss. No midlife crisis stuff. I understand. You get where I'm at there?
Yeah.
I don't need to prove the size of my penis being small. I know it already is. Anyway, moving on. But yeah, I was watching that video of us 3 years ago and just thinking, it's been within 3 years, I've had that much aging happen within the appearance of facial hair color. And now my wife has said, you know, you can dye the facial hair and it'll look fine. I understand that I could, and I might one day just for, you know, giggles, see what just it's for like.
Fun. Yeah.
But, like, I don't know that I feel like doing that on a regular basis. I might, if I ever get in the position where I have the job that I want, that I went to school for, and I'm secure in that job, and they'll be okay with me having a beard, then I might grow it out again. And then at that point I might worry about doing the coloring on it. Although if I had my choice on it, I would just make it like a giant purple beard. Cause that would just to have a giant purple beard would make people be like, what the hell is wrong with you? Don't you know me? That's what's wrong with me.
Hell no. Are you kidding me? If I ever saw some dude with a giant purple beard, I'd high five them immediately. Yeah. 100%. Like that is worth commending on all accounts. It's just like, I don't even give a fuck what my actual, you know, facial hair color or hair color in itself is. That dude's got a purple beard. That's awesome.
All right. That settles it for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a purple beard so that you can high five me. Otherwise you'd never high five me. But anyway, it's just fun to think that we've been doing this for 3 years. We've been able to keep having different conversations about things. I think maybe sometimes we're a little less informative than we used to be, but I love the amount of material that we've had to, I know for me anyway, I have tons of fun just being able to spew out bits of information to people. And they're looking at me like, you know, how do you know this stuff? And I'm like, well, one, I I read and gather a whole bunch of knowledge for really no purpose, but I also have put it towards a purpose, and I can tell you, I don't even know how many times I have had the spam conversation, spam being responsible for the victory in World War II.
Yeah.
I don't even know how many times I've had that conversation with people and tried to direct them to the podcast here so that they could listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Because honestly, it's a really cool thing. By the way, Spam still does commercials. I did see one on TV the other day. Yes.
Did they do the Spamburger hamburger jingle?
Or did
forever ago shit.
I actually had a little bit of an issue with it because I felt that it was a little bit exploitative. Because they had a woman of Asian descent making Spam and putting it in rice. And that was basically the entire commercial. I think the tagline for it was "Don't knock it till you fried it." And so,
oh my gosh,
yeah, it was. I felt it was a little bit like that's a little cringy there. But at the same time, I wanted to go make some Spam and put it in some rice. So it worked.
I mean, Spam and rice is killer. Rice is killer, especially the Like there's what is that called? I think it's called musubi. When it's basically like, it's kind of sort of like It's kind of like sushi. It's you know, rice bed with Spam on top and then wrapped in seaweed.
Yeah, no, that's actually the sister-in-law who lives in the house. I either came home from doing something one day or somehow or another came in the house and I'm like, what's that smell? It smells so good. And I walk into the kitchen and the sister-in-law is making Spam. She goes, I'm making Spam. Like, what you do with Spam? She's building these things. She's got the seaweed. She's got the rice. She's building it up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay. She goes, you want one? I'm like, no, I had Spam for breakfast already. And for lunch. You know, calories and diet. And I did. I had Spam for breakfast that day. But I had turkey Spam. She had the real one there.
Ooh.
It smelled so good. But calories.
Understood. Gotta watch it.
Yeah, she was building that and tried to get my son to eat some, and he won't have nothing of Spam nor seaweed, even though he's completely what's the word I want to use? He's like entranced by Japanese culture and food, but he won't eat any of it.
Really?
It's like he talks about sushi all the time. It's like, you want some sushi? No. He doesn't like rice. He doesn't like Spam. He certainly doesn't like fish. So it's like fish sticks. That's the only fish he eats. It's like, really? Okay. But
you should make him fish sticks sushi.
But that's also because, I mean, he is enamored of Japanese culture.
You know, can I help introduce him to just the layout of the food? You know what I mean?
Well, again, rice is not his thing. Ah. But part of his fascination with the Japanese culture is, of course, Godzilla. So there's that.
Oh, of course. And Godzilla is fantastic.
But anyway, it's, I don't know. It's neat to think about the 3 years that we've been doing this. And one, you know, we have certain things we do regularly. We talk about, you know, our different food things, by the way, new flavor of, Doritos that I found.
Oh, really?
Also Doritos in that neighborhood, market I was telling you about, I was sitting in front of, they have Cool Ranch Doritos and Nacho Cheese Doritos in old school packaging, in the old school bags.
The old school bags,
yeah, throwback bags, which
like
is
what the white front, yep, bags with the, uh-huh, the, oh cool,
with the like the thing behind each letter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay.
Yep. They have, and again, just the Cool Ranch and the Nacho Cheese, still they're in the old style bags. So I found these Doritos that are tangy pickle Doritos. Tangy pickle. Which is like, pickled chips are always awesome, but yeah, like with a Dorito? Huh? I'm going to tell you, it works.
It does work. Really?
They're
I can
very,
see pickled
very
chips
good.
Working with potatoes because it's just the light fluffiness, the flakiness of potato chip. But Doritos are so much more, they're so much more robust. They're much crunchier than a standard potato chip.
No, these actually are fantastically good. They work really, really well.
Oh man!
But to add on to it, I also, that's one of the things that's in my pantry that's Doritos related. The other one, Smart Food Popcorn. I think it's Smart Food. May not be that brand, but it's a popcorn brand. You know, mm-hmm. you can buy the big bags of popcorn with different flavors. Mm-hmm. Well, sir, I have Doritos Nacho Cheese flavored popcorn.
Wow. Okay.
This I have not opened fantastic. That bag up to
this
eat
sounds
it yet.
Really, really nacho cheese flavored.
Yeah, Doritos Nacho Cheese. Specifically, Doritos Nacho Cheese flavor.
Wow.
Because Doritos Nacho Cheese flavor is different from other nacho cheese flavors, let's be honest.
Right? Yeah, yes, I will entirely agree with that.
But these are Doritos Nacho Cheese flavored
but Doritos popcorn. Version of their flavors, period, is different from, and like even like the impersonators, the Dorito impersonators, they just can't quite hit it.
Yeah, nobody else. Glacier Ranch is not Cool Ranch. Funny enough that, do you know that they call those like a Cool American flavor anywhere else in the world?
Cool American?
Yeah, Doritos Cool American flavor. That's weird. American flavored chips are ranch flavored chips because that's what we are, which makes perfect sense, to be honest.
Well, that does sound like
obsession with ranch.
But when you first hear it, it does kind of sound like a Royale with cheese type moment. But at the same time, when you really think about it, yeah, ranch with your whatever is very much an Americanized thing. Like pizza with ranch, definitely an American thing.
Oh yeah,
like you're not. You're not going to Italy and getting ranch with your goddamn pizza. That's not
literally
happening.
Literally anything with ranch is an American.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah.
Well, anyway, celery with ranch is American. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Everybody, everywhere else, they use celery for its intended purposes, which is for flavoring for better tasting foods. You know what I mean? They don't, yeah. They, in other countries, they don't eat celery. Celery goes in the bottom of the pot so that you get flavor. That's how they do salt.
Dude, celery salt is badass too.
Celery is awesome when used for its intended purposes, which is to appropriately flavor meat naturally.
Fair. Yeah.
And to flavor stocks and soups and whatnot. That's its purpose. It's you don't sit and eat celery. You use it for its purpose. It's just like you don't sit and eat an onion by itself. You use it for its purpose.
I don't know. I've seen people eat onions like apples, and it's just god awful.
And there's something wrong
looking.
With those people.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Or the
I can't remember if it was like, was it a movie? I think it was a movie that I saw it in, like everybody can see it. And it was like, I think it was Tommy Lee Jones ate an onion like it was an apple. I can't remember what movie it is, but he straight up just pulls an onion, peels the onion, and takes a straight full bite of it on camera. And your initial reaction is like, what the hell? Why would you do that? And for some reason, apparently, or for some people, apparently, like onions just... Like, how would they have a different flavor than being an... Who just wants to take a fat bite out of an onion?
Hold on. I have had some onions that are actually really, really good onions. I've had some sweet red onions that, like, no tears whatsoever, no bitter aftertaste, no, you know, acid reflux issues, no leaving the taste of onion in your mouth for, like, days afterwards. They were really, really good. I had them like on a sandwich and a burger and whatnot, but you can taste, you know, when you have an onion on a sandwich, a burger, tacos, whatever, you taste the onion in there.
Yeah, these but I'm talking, this dude bit into amazing. A white onion.
Yeah, no, that's just.
It was a yellow onion. He peeled it and he took a bite out of it. I swear, unless I am just remembering it wrong, and I very well could be, I'm going to have to try to look this up and come back to you on what okay. if it was a movie or something like. I've got to find it.
Yeah, that's...
It's just, it's is. So... I the image in my head is so off-putting.
I mean, that's weird, but I feel the same way when people eat that one fruit that looks like green baby shit. So, you know, that's just... I'm like, what are you doing? That belongs in a diaper. But, you know, whatever. But, yeah, it's... let's see, I did the flavors. I told you the flavors of the chips, right? So other things that we do is we talk about movies, right? That's another thing that we do here on this podcast. We talk about movies. We talk about pop culture stuff. And we give spoilers sometimes. Well, I know it's been a long introduction for all of this, waxing nostalgic about 3 years, but I have a few properties,
mm-hmm.
few, you know, TV shows, films, that kind of thing, that I think we need to have a few discussions about, and we'll be in spoiler range for those.
Oh, okay.
I did want to kind of mention a conversation that I had earlier today, or no, had last night, with regards to a very interesting subgenre of films, the video game based movie.
Okay.
Movies that are, you know, supposed to be based on existing video
games. Yeah, like video game properties. Mm-hmm.
I have a slight
education in this.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
In this wheelhouse. Well,
I'm mentioning this because there's a video game movie that just recently came out in theaters and is apparently doing really, really well. That's the Uncharted movie.
Oh, it's doing well? Because I've been hearing back and forth that it was going to bomb hard because it just didn't seem like conceptually all that good.
No, it's apparently doing fairly well. Critics are liking it at this point.
Okay.
But this is a very interesting... when we were growing up, we had possibly the worst video game movie adaptations ever in...
There are multiple.
Yeah, the Super Mario Brothers movie, probably up there at the top as being the worst. But Double Dragon, not that far behind.
I don't know. I think Double Dragon was worse than Super Mario Brothers. Yeah.
And then the travesty that was the travesty and Coke Fest that was the Street Fighter movie. Although funny enough, the Street Fighter movie gave us our actual first film appearance, I believe, of Ming-Na Wen.
She plays Chun-Li. Mm-hmm.
Who is probably one of the most important actors as far as Disney is concerned at this point in time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, keep in mind, Ming-Na Wen is the only actor at this point that I know of at this point to have been a superhero. Well, kind of a superhero in Marvel. She didn't have any superpowers, but she was a hero in Marvel. She has been in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And she is a Disney princess.
Yes, she is.
So she's got the trifecta for Disney at this point. Ming-Na Wen can do no wrong, at least as far as Disney is concerned.
I mean, yeah.
But we did get, when you can look at our era of video game movies and say with a straight face, yeah, the best one of them was the first Mortal Kombat movie. That's bad.
And
that's really bad.
The first, yeah. If you go back and watch the original Mortal Kombat movie, it is not a movie that is meant to be good.
Oh no,
it's very quotable. There's a lot of cheesy one-liners in it. There's some enjoyable fight scenes, and the special effects, especially for the time, not particularly terrible. I will tell you that I was fascinated by the animatronic Goro. That was insanely cool. Back when it came out. Like all the shit that happened with him, like, you know, when Johnny Cage punches him in the nuts and his eyes dilate and like all this, those shots are great. The cinematography is fantastic in that film. It really is. The story is trash, or at least also, the dialogue is not that great. It's not meant to be good, though. It's like Bloodsport. It's not meant to be a good movie. It's meant to just be an enjoyable action film.
Well, and Bloodsport was, it's funny you mentioned Bloodsport with the whole Jean-Claude Van Damme supposed to be Cage, but anyway,
yeah,
Bloodsport, Bloodsport was also a complete fabrication. None of that actually happened. The guy who said it was about him, Frank Dukes, just made all that shit up because he's a liar.
Yep.
And a con man.
Yep.
But anyway,
made a good movie out of it.
I, for the most part, it was fun to watch.
Yeah.
And
that's all I mean.
Made me a fan of Bolo Yang for the rest of my life. That dude is bad.
Dude, I didn't see Enter the Dragon until after I saw Bloodsport. Yeah. And I was like, dude, it's Chong Li. Holy shit. Like watching that fight scene with Bolo Yang in Enter the Dragon was badass. And there were a ton of people in that film.
He was, especially for the size that he ended up being, because he is a martial artist and a weightlifter. So like he ended up being like, he is such a big dude and his ability to move and fight. And then when you know about his real life, he is like really passive, really sweet, really calm dude. And he always plays these like really villainous characters. I love actors like that. But anyway, the other problem with the Mortal Kombat movie, obviously, is the, the problem that happens way too often, which is really bad ethnic casting. We have we have a god of lightning and thunder who's supposed to be Asian. We're gonna cast a Belgian in that part with a really thick accent. So yeah, okay, let's do
it's
that.
Like, I mean, wait a minute, they cast the Belgian.
They cast the Belgian as a Scotsman before, and then cast the Scotsman as a Spaniard.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There so I guess this, that works.
Well, I mean, you cast an Englishman as a French guy. You cast an Englishman as a French guy in like one of the most prominent sci-fi series. That's supposed to be, that's supposed to be social, like that coined social awareness on its sleeve. Right,
and he still speaks with a full British accent.
Full British accent, like,
and it's like, wait, your name is Jean Luc, like, and you're talking like that. I don't get it.
Yeah, so that as far as that time frame, and that's around when that movie came out. Like, that's we didn't quite have proper representation in mind when we were still casting.
No,
we were still. I mean, we were still only what 40 years, 30 years? No, God, 5 years removed from blackface because you had. What was the one with C. Thomas Howell and?
Oh yeah, no, I know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
the movie with C. Thomas Howell and freaking, oh my gosh,
I've obliterated that from my memory.
It's so terrible.
Yeah, it's that there was that we weren't removed from any of it. It was still
Soul Man. That's what it was. If you want to completely obliterate your own mind with horrendous, like racial, what's the terminology? Just horrendous. Like, I can't
not,
even think
not,
of the.
I'm not getting the word in my brain either.
Yeah, it's just it's complete horrendous. Like ignorance in the name of. It's so terrible. The meaning of the film is completely overshot by the plot of the film and everything that happens within it. It is one of the worst mistakes in filmmaking.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah. So I don't want to stay on that.
No, that was still within that time frame, but yeah, it's like still why cast
and then use and then this in the next, for good? What? No. And no, you next, can't. Stop it.
Well, and then in the next Mortal Kombat movie, they do even worse, and I think Clancy Brown is playing Raiden in the second Mortal Kombat.
Oh yeah, they couldn't even get. Yeah, they couldn't even get.
Like, okay, so you go from Connor McLeod of the Clan McLeod, and you go to the Kurgan. All right, I guess it makes sense.
Oh, dude,
you're trying to
like,
say that these are immortals, right?
They couldn't even get
their head off, damn it.
They couldn't even get the main guy who had played Johnny Cage in the film. So they get a lookalike who looks almost exactly like him. And the guy's just a TV actor at this point. Like, the dude who played Johnny Cage in that film was just like a Fox TV actor. And they couldn't even get him back. So they get a lookalike who's like super close. And then they kill three of those main characters in like the first 10 minutes of the film. Like, and now it is anything goes. It is the worst thing. Like the first Mortal Kombat film was really bad. The second Mortal Kombat film was probably, oh man. See, now you're getting a tie with how bad movies like Double Dragon is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, oh man, that's so.
And you have to add also, you can add also the acting talent that's put into the movie that makes it worse. Like Double Dragon, I think the biggest actor in that was Robert Patrick, right?
Yes, Robert Patrick was the main bad guy.
And like the two guys that were the main leads, one of them was like I think Scott Wolf was one of them. But who cares about Scott Wolf? Nobody did then. Nobody does now. But like you look at something like the Super Mario Brothers movie. We're talking Bob Hoskins, John Leguizamo, Dennis Hopper, and Samantha Mathis. Okay, Samantha Mathis is the only one that people don't know now. But like Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo? I mean, seriously?
Well, the big mistake with that one, actually, more recently, I think I might have mentioned it on the
casting podcast. Casting a Brit and a Cuban?
Well, first off, the Brit knew that he could. Yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, there's supposed to be two Italian plumbers, quote unquote, who, like, I don't know. Like, I'm sorry, they still haven't solved that problem. They've got Chris Pratt playing Mario in the new movie, but there's a whole different type.
Isn't there somebody weird playing Luigi too?
I can't remember who's playing Luigi. Oh, yeah. Charlie Day is Luigi.
Yeah. Which
Charlie Day makes sense.
Okay, Charlie Day, I get.
Why but the fuck didn't you get Danny DeVito for Mario? I want to know that.
That would have been
perfect. They missed the mark, man. They missed the mark. They could have gotten Danny DeVito. Instead, they got Chris Pratt. I'm not like doing major complaint really about it because you can tell that the general, like when you look at the casting, Jack Black is Bowser. Keegan-Michael Key is Toad.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. Okay. Again, so you know again, what the again, general okay. idea of the comedy is going to be around this film. It's going to be outrageous.
To me, though, Key could be anything, and I will watch it just for.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't care what Keegan-Michael Key is in. I don't care what it is. I will watch it just to watch him in it because he is freaking hilarious in everything he does. And let me add, if Jordan Peele is acting in something, I'm going to watch it. If Jordan Peele is directing it, hell no, I am staying away. To quote the title of his most recent movie, nope. Because all he makes is horror movies, and I don't watch damn horror movies.
Oh, okay.
That crap scares me too much.
Okay, nope. Okay. I can understand that. I know Jordan Peele thought it was something.
You thought it was something deeper and different. No, he just makes scary ass. He makes scary ass movies, and I am not watching his scary ass movies. They are good social commentary, scary ass.
Incredible,
movies,
yeah.
But the fact that they're so good makes them scarier, and I do not want to watch them. I will tell you this.
I believe he's one of the producers and may have been doing some of the writing or something. I know he was very, like, he took over as the main narrator for the Twilight Zone when the Twilight Zone was rebooted.
That's what I'm saying.
I've seen that shit. It's good.
He's got the mind for it. He is fantastic with it. I am not knocking his ability to do that freaky kind of uneasy genre setup. He does that fantastically.
Yeah.
He is an amazing artist. It's just
horror movies is just not your thing. I totally understand. I totally get it. I can understand just that genre in and of itself being, yeah.
Yeah, when he does comedy, I will watch anything because he's hilarious. His timing and his instincts, not just for comedy, for all storytelling, his timing and instincts are amazing and perfect. I can't deal with the horror part because he does it. It's mainly because I can watch crappy horror movies because they're crappy horror movies and they're not that scary. They're just stupid. You can laugh at them. When it's a really good horror thriller, like mess with your head movie, I have trouble watching those movies. The better they are, the harder it is for me to watch them. That's saying I ain't watching his stuff because I know he does a good job with it. If people want to get that real freak out, watch his stuff because he's going to mess with your head. He just doesn't scare you with jump scares. He messes with your head. And that's like, my head's already messed up enough. I don't need you messing with my head. The new Mario movie, luckily it's animated. So, right? It's an animated film, isn't it?
They're just doing voices. Yeah, it's CGI. So, I think it's Illumination that's doing it. It's the same guys that do
That's okay, at least.
Yeah.
Voices I can deal with to a certain extent. Maybe they'll figure the voices out. But the live action portrayal of it is kind of the big deal. And video game movies have had, you know, their trials and tribulations. The funny thing is, do you know which video game movie franchise has made the most money? It's actually one of the biggest movie franchises, maybe the biggest movie franchise in the world as far as money making goes.
Can I make a wild guess?
Yeah.
It's probably one of the longest running. I would assume it's the Resident Evil series.
You would assume correctly. So the Resident Evil series is actually one of the biggest, if not the biggest, worldwide, worldwide. And that's the thing is they make the Resident Evil series makes just a ton of money in international box office. It's not what they make in the US. They make money everywhere. They're huge movies all throughout the world. And it makes it so that the director can just because it's been the same director for years making the Resident Evil movies. He just keeps making more Resident Evil movies. And the main reason he makes them is so that he can make more movies to put his wife in because he's married to Mia Jovovich. So it's really? Just basically more movies for her to go around and beat the crap out of zombies. The only thing even maybe close to that may have been the Lara Croft movies. But that would be, you know, not even, but still there were only two of those with Angelina Jolie and then those don't even hold a candle. But this may be one of the more the Resident Evil movies, while they make tons of money, are not critically acclaimed at all. They're considered just garbage movies.
Yeah, most people, just anybody who actually just movie reviews, just completely hates them. And they're not meant to be, like, they're not faithful to the source material. The problem is the source material in and of themselves, because they take so many hours and hours and hours to tell a specific story. You can't compact that into an hour and a half worth of movie making. You can't do it.
Well, and
the
experience never goes away entirely.
It's about being caught in the middle of it that makes it scary, that makes it the experience.
And another thing, that's one of the reasons why I don't play those games, is I remember playing one of them one time and started out, and like I had a gun with like a limited number of bullets in it, and then there was like these zombie things coming at me in the hallway, and I shoot them and they would not die. And so I died, and I was like, nope, nope, nope. Because again, the horror in that and the scary in that, too real for me. Nope, nope, nope.
Oh, dude, you should be seeing the ones that are like first person now.
Yeah, no, no.
Oh, man. There's some great shit that's done with the newer shit. It would blow your mind.
Dude,
but you would never, ever see them. I don't think you could even watch them being played by somebody else.
Probably not. I have trouble playing a video game where my avatar little thingy has to go into water, because it freaks me out, because I'm afraid of water so much. There's no way I'm playing one of those games where shit's jumping out at you. Not going to happen.
Did I ever tell you that the Resident Evil movie series, the game franchise, is actually based on another movie that came out in Japan like 25 years ago, 30 years ago?
Yes, we've had that discussion.
I think we've had that discussion. Okay.
But anyway, yes, this new Uncharted game looks like it is getting some good critical review, and it's doing well at the box office. I did want to add, by the way, there's also another video game movie coming out, the second Sonic movie, with the addition of Tails and Knuckles in the movie. That's been the trailer. Idris Elba is the voice of Knuckles, which is awesome.
Oh, that's right.
If you have not seen the first Sonic movie, I'm gonna tell you right now, it's fun. It's a fun romp. The thing I like about it is the same thing I like about like the Speed Racer movie.
Uh-huh.
What most people hate about it is it tries to have some of the fun tone. Hold on to the tone of the original thing, and doesn't try to turn into something that's too much of a realistic, gritty reboot. I hate when they do realistic, gritty reboots of things. I like some of the camp and some of the fun. Some things should have a grittiness to them. Like, you know, you have your campy Batman, you have your less campy Batman, and then you have your campy Batman again, and then you have your really gritty Batman, and then you have your Batfleck, and then you have your even grittier Batman. That's that works, because there's all the iterations within the comics. There's gritty, there's campy, there's all the different versions of it, so you can have that. But like, Sonic is just kind of a fun game for the most part.
There's some
scariness in it, but some awfulness in it, but whatever, it's still a fun game. The movie has that tone. It's a fun action adventure movie. It doesn't try to get too deep and too, again, not gritty, not realistic. It just has fun. And you get somebody like Jim Carrey chewing scenery, being amazing chewing scenery. It's okay that he's doing it. You don't need him to be believable. You need him to be over the top. And he does fantastic. Fun little diversion for, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours, however long the movie is. Don't take it seriously. Enjoy it as a piece of entertainment designed for kids. Have fun watching it, and then watch the second one. Also have fun. I think that one does a successful job of at least feeling like what it is to play the game. It's fun. It's an escape. But yeah, Uncharted apparently doing well. So let's see. I've never played the game, so
I actually own them. I have them. I hear that they're a fantastic series. I have not been able to sit and play them yet.
Well, and keep in mind, at this point, Tom Holland's one of those golden children, basically. He can do no wrong. He's making every movie he's making is just knocking it out of the park. He's been lucky enough that basically what he's done is, Spider-Man and Avengers movies, but he's just knocking it out of the park, which, of course, Spider-Man is the other thing that we're going to talk about, because it's been out long enough. I know you haven't seen it. I know you're probably not going to see it, but we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
And we're going to do that after we come back. We're going to take a break.
All right.
Hey, friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
And we're back.
All right.
All right, so here's what I'm going to say. If for some reason you are one of the people in the listening of this that has not seen the new Spider-Man movie and has not seen any spoilers about the new Spider-Man movie, which have been everywhere, has not watched any post interviews and know all the spoilers, then stop listening to this episode right now, because I'm going to talk about Spider-Man.
If
you're everybody else who knows all of this stuff already, either from watching it or from all of the media attention that these things got, and as they should get, then keep listening, and we're going to discuss a few of them. I know you didn't get a chance to see it, but I did finally get the chance to see it.
Okay. I was going to say, is it still in theaters right now, or is it going to be available on streaming sometime soon? Do we have a streaming date on it?
Oh, here's the thing about that. It will not be available on streaming, which is why I made a point to go see it in the theaters.
Wait, it won't be available for streaming at all until it comes out on home video?
It's coming out until it comes out on DVD, and when it does, it will come out on Stars, which is where Sony has the contract for.
This what?
Is part of Sony's agreement of making it. It will not appear on Disney Plus.
You have to have an entirely different... What kind of Kanye shit is that?
That's Sony.
You have to have
Sony
an entirely different streaming service in order to... Like, it's
no,
part
no,
of the,
no,
it's
no,
part of the
Mike?
Disney Marvel's, the Disney MCU.
It does not matter, because Sony still has the rights on Spider-Man, and that's where Sony's getting control of things.
Oh my God.
Eventually they'll put it on Disney Plus, but after it's been on Stars for a while.
I don't even have Disney Plus. I just think this is convoluted as hell.
It is. It only basically is helpful for all of those old people like me that have an actual TV provider, like a cable or satellite TV provider.
Right.
Because we get Stars. But yeah, for everybody else, it's a convoluted kind of messed up thing. It's not even going to be on HBO Max, which is like another thing that everybody has.
Yeah, so you got to wait another three years in order to be able to see it on
about
streaming.
6 months.
Six months? Oh, yeah.
Well, six months till it hits Stars, and then people can buy it on DVD.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Sony
gets
money from
sales
Stars.
Period.
Well, it will. Sony gets money from Stars. Sony gets money from DVD sales. Sony does not get money when Disney Plus shows it. So this is part of Sony getting their part of the deal. Yeah, that's what I'm guessing anyway. This is Sony getting their part of the deal.
I think they get less is what's going on. I know they get money from the actual property, because I know Disney's making money on that too, aren't they?
Disney is, but the thing is, Sony's not. Sony gets a bigger cut when they can control where it distributes afterwards.
Interesting. Okay,
and control that it did not debut on Disney Plus like many of the others.
I think this might also be Disney trying to trying a little bit of damage control because of the stuff that happened with ScarJo with the Black Widow movie. She's pissed.
She was, but no, because Eternals has already been on Disney Plus. And it just went out. It went right out of the theater, right onto Disney Plus.
Wow!
So, and I've already seen Eternals. Eternals. I would love to sit down and watch Eternals with you, just to see how pissed off you get when you see there's one Eternal that is super fast and runs everywhere. There's another Eternal that flies, is super strong, and shoots beams out of his eyes. There's another Eternal that knows how to work with. There's another Eternal who, by the way, is African American, who knows how to work with technology. There's another one who's a woman who's this ultimate warrior. Does this all sound familiar to you?
What in the actual fuck is this?
I would just love to. I actually watched it last night with my wife, and as she's watching, I'm like, "Wow, isn't that funny? Doesn't it look that you got the fast one fighting the one that flies and shoots beams out of its eyes? That's kind of neat." How she's like, I can understand why you said that you weren't sure I should watch this movie, but I need to be a part of to understand all the MCUs. Like, yeah, you kind of do, because it does introduce the Black Knight. It introduces him.
Oh, the Moon Knight.
No, not Moon Knight. Black Knight. Different guys.
What the
two
hell?
Two different characters.
Oh boy.
Black Knight has a sword that is possessed. Moon Knight is also possessed by ancient Egyptian stuff. Two different things.
Yeah.
I know, but
people keep taking Moon Knight and like comparing him to Batman.
Nope, Moon Knight is nothing like Batman. Batman is way more sane than Moon Knight. Moon Knight is legitimately crazy.
And Batman is not in any way, like, I'm sorry, dude. He dresses up in a costume and he recruits children.
But he is more sane than Moon Knight.
To kick the shit out of people at night. Like, this is not a sane thing to do.
But he is more sane than Moon Knight. Moon Knight is legitimately multiple personalities in one dude's head.
I was going to say, I thought he had, like, multiple personality disorder and stuff. Like, that was, like, his thing.
And he's kind of possessed. There's a whole thing.
And he's possessed. So there's more than... Yes. Wow.
Yeah, so it's... Like I said, Batman, way more sane. The Joker might actually be more sane, unless you, of course, believe in the idea that the Joker is hyper-sane. But that's a whole different topic.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of like, you know, basically the Joker is Deadpool.
In a sense, yeah.
To a degree, at least in as far as awareness.
But anyway, so you lost me completely in my...
Sorry,
we went off
on a tangent. You're doing streaming services. We're talking about the Eternals. We're talking about, streaming services, Spider-Man.
So, I knowing when I found out that it wasn't going to be on Disney Plus, which I do have, and I watch so many things on Disney Plus, it's like I watch more Disney Plus than just about anything else. When I found out that it wasn't going to be on there, I made it a point to get into the theater to see it.
Okay.
And I knew I went in knowing almost all the spoilers for it, almost all. To be honest, actually, there was nothing that I didn't know when I went into it. My wife went with me. She didn't know anything. She had been blissfully unaware of spoilers, but she typically is. But yeah, I knew everything going in, and there are some major things that it does. One of which I don't know how they're going to, I don't know what it's going to shape up to be through the rest of, the next phase of MCU stuff. And that's what happens kind of at the end. But, you know some of the spoilers, right? Do you want me to kind of go through them for you?
You know, for the sake of go through them, because I can't list off any of the major spoilers that I know of right out the gate. I know. Okay. Are we just going to talk about the whole movie, or is it just certain?
I'm just going to do some quick discussion. You do have almost all the villains from the previous two iterations of Spider-Man show up.
Almost all.
Yeah, almost all the villains show up. Yes. So you do have.
Did they select them from different franchises, like, or do you see Okay, yeah.
I'll explain. So you get your first one you see that comes back is Doc Ock.
Right.
And by the way, they do a good job of making fun of his name. Totally making fun of his name. Like once they have him imprisoned, and the reason it happens is Spider-Man wants everybody to forget who he is. So he asks Doctor Strange to do a spell to make everybody forget, right?
Right.
But as he's doing the spell, he keeps saying, oh no, I don't want Ned to forget. So put that in there. And I don't want MJ to forget. And I don't want Aunt May to forget and Happy and this and that. And as the spell keeps changing, it suddenly goes awry and Doctor Strange has to contain it in a little box so it doesn't explode out because the spell started going bad. Well, what it ended up doing is it messed with the multiverse and it started bringing, instead of having people forget who Spider-Man was, it started bringing in people from the multiverse that knew who Spider-Man was, that knew his identity.
Cute. Okay.
So you get the villains that show up that knew his identity for the most part. So you get Doc Ock showing up. Again, they make fun of his name. You get Norman Osborn show up. And Willem Dafoe, oh my God. So they I know they did de-age technology on Alfred Molina to play Doc Ock.
Oh,
they
really?
Did some de-age on his face, so he looks exactly like he did in the second Spider-Man movie.
Right.
But and he does fantastic. But Willem Dafoe, oh, he's so amazing. You get Jamie Foxx as Electro back in. You get Thomas Hayden Church's voice as Sandman. The only time you actually see his face is actually footage reused from Spider-Man 3.
Oh, wow.
So he just does voice and he's just a sand creature, okay, basically, for the most part. You get, let's see, those are the ones. You get Lizard Man back as well.
Oh, okay. The Lizard?
Yeah, the Lizard.
Which one? Because I think there were.
No.
There was only one. Okay.
Only in the first Andrew Garfield did the Lizard show.
Okay.
Up.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You were not in it, by the way.
I hate you.
You with a Russian accent were not in it.
Shut up, I hate you.
But although you do get that character, actually does get referenced later at the very end when the multiverse is ripping apart. You do see a silhouette of a couple of interesting villains, including Kraven the Hunter, which would be so cool to see Kraven the Hunter in there.
Wait, Kraven the Hunter was never in
a Spider-Man villain. He wasn't in any of the films.
Yeah.
No, he was not in any of the films, but you see a silhouette that looks like it could be Kraven the Hunter as maybe foreshadowing of a villain coming up, which Kraven the Hunter would be awesome. But you do see a silhouette of Rhino at one point at the end. It's just the silhouette as they're trying to the multiverse is trying to tear apart.
Is it Mecha Rhino too? Like it's
yeah, it's more the Mecha Rhino look. Okay. Not the actual Rhino look.
Okay.
So it's the U Rhino look.
Shut up.
Yes, I know. Anyway, those villains all come back, and actually what's this Peter Parker tries to do is he's trying to help the villains because of inspiration from Aunt May, who Aunt May finally does deliver the line, the responsibilities line. She finally delivers that.
Ah, okay.
But it's her idea that he should try to help these people instead of just send them back to where they come from, especially when they find out that all these villains that have shown up are villains that have died while fighting Spider-Man.
Right.
And at the moment they die is when they've kind of moved into this new, you know, into this universe.
Okay.
And so Spider-Man's trying to help them, seeing if there's a way he could, every one of them, something has happened to. You know, Kurt Connors took a serum to try to grow back his arm, became the Lizard.
Right.
Electro fell in a vat of eels. They make a joke about the fact that Electro fell in a vat of eels and Sandman fell in a particle collider thingy.
Yeah.
Particle accelerator thing. It's like, yep, that'll do it. Falling into stuff, that'll do it. Just a joke at how cheesy. There's a ton of meta jokes within this movie.
That's great.
So many of them. And you know, Norman Osborn took a serum to make him the Goblin, and Doc Ock's chip fried in his arm attachments.
Right.
Well, Parker's able to create a solution for all of the stuff, for everybody's thing, and he fixes Doc Ock, who becomes goes back to how he was before his thing went nuts, and is actually, you know, nice again instead
he's
of
a
being
good guy?
A douchebag. He becomes a good guy again instead of being a douchebag.
Wow. Okay.
So, but the goblin's like, nope, it's not going to happen. I'm not doing this. He's been tricking him the whole time, thinking that he's getting fixed.
Yeah.
And here's one of the big spoilers: the Goblin kills Aunt May.
Holy shit!
Oh yeah, she did.
Marissa Tomei?
She did.
Shit, dude.
Oh yeah. It's at that point that you find out that Ned, his friend, had stolen. They ended up. There's a fight sequence between Spider-Man and
who?
Doctor Strange.
Oh, okay.
Doctor Strange is basically wanting to send all these bad guys back to, you know, set everything right. So he's got the box that the spell is in.
Yeah.
If he does a certain thing, it'll destroy the spell, send all these guys back.
Right.
But they're all going back to their death, and they're all going back with all these problems, and Spider-Man wants to try to help them.
Right.
So Spider-Man tries to steal the box from Doctor Strange. They get in a fight.
Okay.
Doctor Strange tosses him into the mirror dimension and is fighting with him in the mirror dimension. Spider-Man, well, Peter Parker, with his knowledge of, you know, being fairly smart, because Peter Parker's a smart dude, he figures out that the mirror dimension is all based on geometry. So he actually beats Doctor Strange in the mirror dimension, steals his sling ring, the ring that opens up portals for them.
Yeah.
And locks Doctor Strange in the mirror dimension.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And so he goes about his thing. Well, at one point after Aunt May's killed, Spider-Man's off hiding. And Ned, who has the sling ring, his friend Ned, is trying to find Spider-Man. They're talking about finding Spider-Man. He waves his hand around, and it opens a portal.
Which one's so Ned?
Ned's the friend of his, the kind of dorky, overweight friend of his.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, got you.
from the first two movies?
Yeah. I have not seen any of the Spider-Man movies. I have been getting general synopsises from what's going on. I am not familiar with a lot of the characters. So thank you. All right.
He apparently has magic abilities because he uses the sling ring to open a portal. And it turns out the other two Spider-Men, the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, who does appear, yes, and Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, they've been drawn into this universe as well because they know who Spider-Man is. And they've been looking for...
Yeah, but they weren't...
All the
they
new
didn't
stuff.
Die.
No, they didn't, but somehow they were drawn into it. Basically, it's a way to bring the other two Spider-Men in. This is a way to kind of consolidate all the three Spider-Man series of movies.
Okay.
And so you have Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, you have Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. Tons of jokes back and forth. They end up finding the other one. They start working on getting all of the... Because they... Peter Parker had created all the solutions to everybody's problem, but then the Goblin had destroyed them when the Goblin destroyed everything and killed Aunt May.
Right.
So big fight sequence too. It's a great one. There's a scene in one of the trailers where Spider-Man kind of jumps up on top of Goblin with no mask and he's punching him in the face. And the first punch, Defoe's face kind of goes to the side and he's in pain. And then every punch after that, he's just grinning at him huge. And it's like, it's eerie because it's the Goblin being even freakier than he was before.
Yeah,
it's
that's great. Great.
Defoe just takes off with it. It's fantastic. But you get the three Spider-Men working on things together. You get the pointing meme, which was Andrew Garfield's idea.
Yeah.
So there is the pointing meme at one point. It's hilarious.
I did hear
There's jokes about how everybody's dressed. The fact that like Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man is dressed like he's a church pastor. and how Andrew Garfield just has the suit. He didn't bring any other clothes. So he's just in the suit wearing a lab coat over the suit. So there's jokes back and forth about that. Then at one point, Tobey Maguire fires web out and the other two Spider-Men totally freak out.
Oh, like, that's right. Because it's organic. It's part of him. He doesn't have the shooters.
And so when it comes time to, they get all that together, they get set up for the kind of final battle thing that's supposed to happen. And when that gets set up to happen, they do have a few moments of discussion before that happens. And these Spider-Men are just total dorks. They're nerds.
Yeah.
They're complete geeks. So they're just talking about geeky things. And then at one point they bring up the whole, you know, web shooter thing. And like, does it ever happen when you don't want it to? Do you ever have it where it doesn't happen? And such funny conversation. the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man is kind of feeling depressed about things and he's depressed about life. And Tobey Maguire's talking about like, no, man, you need to understand. You're amazing. You're amazing.
Oh my
man.
God.
You need to say it. You're amazing. And of course, that's because his movies are the amazing Spider-Man.
Right. Of course.
So many meta jokes. So much fun. Great blending of them. And then they have them, to have three Spider-Men fighting together to fight off all these bad guys, and then to have growth moments, especially for the Tom Holland Spider-Man, for him to have growth moments where he tries to kill Goblin because Goblin's the one who killed his aunt, who killed Aunt May, and Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man stops him from killing him because, you know, that's not what Spider-Man does. Spider-Man doesn't kill the people. And so great moments, great interconnectivity. Sadly, the end of it is for Doctor Strange to stop the multiverse from splitting apart. He has to finally cast the spell properly to make everybody forget who Spider-Man is, which it's less of an issue for Spider-Man now because Aunt May is dead. But he does end up losing his version of MJ, who is not Mary Jane, by the way. She's Michelle Jones Watson. So not Mary Jane, different universe, different thing.
Wait, what?
By the
what?
Way, she's not Mary Jane. She's
Wait,
Michelle
the current
Jones.
One?
Yes, her. She goes by MJ, but she's Michelle Jones, not Mary J.
What
not
the
Mary
hell?
Jane. There is the moment though where she is falling off of the. They're fighting on the Statue of Liberty, which, by the way, the Statue of Liberty is being retrofitted with Captain America's shield.
Oh, what the hell?
Yeah. There's a whole subplot in the MCU right now. Captain America is like this big hero. Hawkeye has a Captain America musical.
Good
which
Lord.
Is hilarious. It's great. It's great. You see, the first episode is Hawkeye going to the musical and he's turned his he can't hear anymore. He's got hearing aids in. He's turned his hearing aid off because he can't stand watching it. And he's mad because there's a dance and music number for the Battle of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And and they have, you know, all the main Avengers that you expect to be there, but like Ant-Man's there. And Hawkeye's like, he wasn't even there. So it's, and then you see the, at the end of the series, the end of the seven episodes of the series.
Yeah.
The, you know, they have after credit scenes for movies. They do that at the end of, at the last episode of all the series, they do an after credit scene.
Yeah. I've heard a bit about this.
The after credit scene for Hawkeye is literally 4.5 minutes of the entire song that you just see a portion of in the beginning.
God.
This entire Broadway stage musical song of the Battle of New York, and the title of the song, I'm assuming, is I Can Do This All Day, which is,
oh, you know, my God.
Yeah. Oh God. It's so funny just to watch that. It is hilarious what they did with that music number to do. I mean, it's like, this is what we would do. We would make a Broadway number like this and people would eat this crap up. And it is so, so stupid. So silly. It's hilarious to watch. And imagine being Hawkeye watching that going, what the? No, oh my God, this is what I did all of this and I jumped off a freaking building and fired an arrow that had a line attached to it and broke through the window. And this is, oh my God, I could just imagine that moment. But that's a whole thing that's going through this next phase of the MCU is this Steve Rogers thing. So the fight at the end is at the Statue of Liberty with this giant Captain America shield being on it, and MJ falls, and okay. So Tom Holland Spider-Man goes to try to save her and the Goblin hits him with the glider and flies away. So Andrew Garfield Spider-Man
cool,
and is able to save her, and he gets her to the ground and he's holding her. He's like, you okay? She goes, yeah, I'm fine, are you okay? And he's bawling. Because of course, Gwen Stacy dies in his.
Yes,
he can't save Gwen Stacy, and of course Gwen Stacy dies in the comics. That's like the death of Gwen Stacy, one of the biggest comic editions ever.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's like he gets that moment of save, and it kind of is a redemption. Every character gets like a little bit of a redemption. Great movie, great thing put together. So it's one of those that like I said, the spell at the end. Doctor Strange finally does it. He's able to make it so nobody remembers who Spider-Man is, and Spider-Man goes along his way, but nobody remembers him as Peter Parker either. So like Happy Hogan, who was Tony Stark's kind of valet.
Whoa.
And who has been dating Aunt May, uh-huh, has no idea who he is. He'd also been helping Peter Parker out because, you know, Tony Stark had kind of taken him in. He has no idea who he is.
Holy shit.
MJ and Ned, no idea who he is. No connection. With he's invisible at that point.
Whoa. So
he gets an apartment, and then he changes up his suit to actually look more like a combination of the other two Spider-Man suits, the color combination.
Whoa. Because
his colors have been a little darker and more, you know, more metallic looking. He goes back, mm-hmm, to the bright blue and bright red.
Whoa. So it's like a full reboot of Spider-Man in this universe too.
It is. And then of course you have the mid-credit scene where Tom Hardy's Eddie Brock is sitting in a bar somewhere in like Mexico, and he's trying to talk to the guy about, so you have what in this world, and you got aliens that love jewelry, and you got this and this, and you hear the Venom voice behind it, you know, in his brain talking to him,
right, about
a different thing. We need to go skinny dipping. Just funny stuff. And
yeah.
And then, so that's saying that version of Venom, which at the end of the second Venom movie, you see him, apparently you see him transition into the Spider-Man universe, the MCU universe.
Yeah.
Apparently all the symbiotes over all the multiverses can share some memories. So that's why he knows who Peter Parker is, because of the other symbiote from the Tobey Maguire universe.
What the hell?
That's apparently they have.
So the symbiote is a collective consciousness.
This is something in the comics. The symbiote.
Whoa.
The symbiotes are more than one thing, and there is some collective consciousness to them. Not entirely where they completely read each other's brains, but there's things in the memories.
Wow.
So, because you see at the end of the second Venom movie that Venom does come over there, and he knows of Peter Parker. So this is him in that, you know, this is Tom Hardy is as Eddie Brock having a conversation with somebody about this world and the event, something like the Avengers, which, by the way, the Avengers are mentioned to the other two Spider-Mans, and they're like, who are the Avengers? What are the Avengers? You guys don't have those on your, those. Yeah. In your world? Yeah. Oh, they totally, the whole movie, so much meta going on.
Wow.
It's great that it does it. And then suddenly, when you're guessing exactly when the spell happens for Doctor Strange.
Right.
Poof, the Brock is gone.
Yeah.
Guess what's on the counter? There's a little black splooge on the counter.
Did you really have to call it that?
I did, because that's what it is.
So now the symbiote is in the MCU.
There is symbiote in MCU. Yes.
That is so much information. This is ridiculous spoiler territory. Good God.
It's a lot. And in fact, it ended up being so much that I'm going to have to wait for my discussion on the Book of Boba Fett coming up later.
Wow. Yeah.
All I got to say is, dude, what would be the coolest thing that you could ever see anybody in Star Wars do? They've done it in the books. And they've done it in some of the video games. What would it be really cool to see in live action? That's a little bit more of a question. That's a little too much of a question. Let me just.
I was going
to
say
condense it down for you. Wouldn't it be awesome to watch a major Star Wars character ride a Rancor?
Yes.
Because Boba Fett does.
Oh wow! Okay. A little extra spoiler here at the end.
Boba Fett rides a Rancor.
That's badass. Okay.
Oh, you don't even. No, sir. But anyway, although I don't know if we talked about the Boba Fett riding the Rancor or not already. Anyway, point being, we don't get to have any of that discussion because we talked enough about Spider-Man. great new movie in the MCU. Plus, it was breaking box office records because, again, Tom Holland's the new guy right now. He's the it guy. He needs to ride this wave for as long as he can while he still has those boyish good looks and you know, keep it going because – damn, he's able to get anything he wants at this point. He's got all the good roles and people are flocking to see him. So rolling it while you can. Anyway, Mike, where would people be listening to us talk about Spider-Man spoilers like we have been doing for the past 3 years?
Well, you could catch us on our website, thezennialchronicles.com or zenchron.com.
By the way, that website's 3 years old. I just want to say 3 year old website.
Yes.
Sorry, go on.
Yes, it is. Just thanks. So you killed me, dude.
You were spelling my whole train.
Yeah. The whole train of thought, man, just killed. Zenchron.com, Xenchron. That's also shorthand for it. You can type that and find the same website. Catch us on most major podcast platforms. We are on Spotify, we are on Google Play and all those ones. And then also catch us if you have not listened to us or if you've not seen us there yet. Go to our YouTube page. We need subs on our YouTube page. We're asking for them. We're practically begging for them at this point. If you're listening to us on YouTube, if you're not listening to us on YouTube, go to YouTube, search for the Zenial Chronicles, or if you're on one of these videos on YouTube, hit the like button on the video because this is coming out in video. Please hit the subscribe button as well. And there's one more thing to do, James. What is that?
Let me think for a second. Oh, I got it.
What was that?
You can click my bell.
Oh, good.
Click my bell.
Oh, good. Gravy. It cut out while you were singing it too, so that was even better. Leave it as it is. It's staying.
Click the bell. God, yeah. I'm trying to do something fun. Anyway,
I did not hit the mute button. That was all the internet. I'm just telling you now.
Yes, click the bell.
Yes, click the bell to get notified next time we come out with a video on YouTube or a podcast on YouTube, which is basically still a video. And yeah, I believe that is it on my end. What about you, sir?
And again, you're clicking that so you get notified because you want to know when to put the stuff out. While you're there, while you're checking all that out, please make sure to check out Mike's two other pages. He has his Chronozode Games page, which he does with his wife, playing video games in chronological order of the story, not in order of release.
Yes.
Basically, it's just Mike doing really bad at video games. And then if you're looking for him to do something good, you're not going to find it on the internet. But what you can find is his other page, Ruling Note Music. I'm kidding. He does really good on this page. And this is about he does a lot of music knowledge, tells stories about serial killers being involved involved in surfers' bands and gear information, why things sound the way that they sound and why you like them. Basically anything involved with music. We really want to try to get the subscriptions up on this for him. He's I don't know what number he's at now, but he's looking for 1,000.
Yeah.
And so let's get him going up on that, because it can be really helpful for him to do that.
Yes.
So, thank you all for listening today, and we'll be back again next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.